Armenians, a group of Christians who have been massacred in genocide by the Turks and been threatened with, have been killed throughout the world because of being different. Oh, how the human race is so, so primitive. Only socialism can redeem humanity from its degradation. And other different races of whom an infinite multitude had gathered together there in fighting against these enemies of God and of us, we have by God's grace endured many sufferings, said the letter. Because, you see, he was on God's side. All people, like USA, they think they're on God's side. Religious leaders like Billy Graham says that God would not suffer nuclear bombs to fall on America. He protected it from war in World War II. And this kind of asininity, all these thousands of years, people never learn. And he said, we have endured many sufferings and innumerable hardships up to the present time. On with the letter. Many who have already exhausted all their means in this most holy enterprise, very many of our Franks, F-R-A-N-K-S, indeed would have met a bodily death from starvation if the mercy of God and our money, yeah, our money, that's who saved them, had not come to their rescue. Lying before the city of Antioch, indeed, throughout the whole winter we suffered for our Lord Jesus Christ from excessive cold and enormous torrents of rain, over half of us died. What some say about the impossibility of bearing the heat of the sun in Syria is untrue, for the winter there is very similar to our winter in the West. I delight to tell you, dearest, what happened to us during Lent. The city of Antioch is about 5 leagues distant from the sea. For the purpose, they sent the excellent Bohemond, B-O-H-E-M-O-N-D, and Raymond, Count of St. Gilles, G-I-L-L-E-S, to the sea with only 60 horsemen, in order that they might bring mariners to aid in this work, seamen to aid in this work. When, however, they were returning to us with these mariners, the Turks collected an army, fell suddenly upon our 2 leaders, and forced them to a perilous fight. They had to flee. In that unexpected flight, we lost more than 500 of our foot soldiers to the glory of God. Ooh, blindness of Christianity. Of our horsemen, however, we lost only 2, for certain. Our men, full of fury at these most evil tidings, prepared to die for Christ and deeply grieved for their brethren, rushed upon the wicked Turks. They, enemies of God and us, hastily fled before us and attempted to enter the city. But by God's grace, the affair turned out very differently, for when they tried to cross a bridge built over the great river Moskolum, M-O-S-C-H-O-L-U-M, we followed them as closely as possible, killed many before they reached the bridge, forced them to drown in the river, all of whom were killed, and we also slew many upon the bridge and very many at the narrow entrance of the gate in the name of Jesus. I am telling you the truth, my beloved, and you may be assured that in this battle we killed 30 emirs, E-M-I-R-S, that is, princes, and 300 other Turkish nobles, not counting the remaining Turks and pagans that we tortured. Indeed, the number of Turks and Saracens, S-A-R-A-C-N-S, killed is reckoned at 1,230, but of ours we did not lose very many men. That ends the history of the Crusades. That's briefing it. I gave it in short form, a synopsis, and see the parallels of how people get caught up by passionate propaganda for the cause of capitalism and the cause of Christianity even today, when really behind the scenes is an economic problem. They whip up hate between the Irish Catholics and Protestants, but really what is the main concern is the imperialist of England wanting to maintain the resources of all of Ireland for their own domination. They trick the people, getting them caught up in wars between each other over religion. Same exploitation goes on in these battles in Lebanon that I mentioned between Christians and Muslims, and in Chad between Christians and Muslims, and in Ethiopia till the Soviets backed the Marxist leaders, the only Christians. This is the only exception, Ethiopia, where Christians have been on the right side. Usually all the battles, the Muslims are socialists. In Chad, the Muslims are socialists. In Lebanon, the Muslims are socialists. And the Christians are phalangists, are fascists. So Christianity, overall, is the most oppressive of all religions. Jesus, if he ever did live, and if he ever did really walk the earth, has certainly been able to create a great opiate. Those around him created a great opiate that diverts the people from the class struggle and economic awareness so they can build a utopia on earth, which we have the best, and we should be grateful. Be sure to get this down for test, because we will be having definite tests, more intensified testing tomorrow night. Thank you, and I love you very dearly. In summary, we want to take a Marxist perspective on the Crusades, this so-called Holy Christian Crusade, which was merely a struggle for power and profits. But there are positive aspects, this is very short, that you can fit in to the concept of dialectic materialism. Remember the triangle of the thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. And of course that is applied from feudalism up to capitalism to the present day socialism that will lead to the purity of communism. And the Crusades were an effective device to rid feudal society of certain elements of the nobility. This in turn enabled them to consolidate power and establish an economic base for more, you might say, effective economic production, which the rising bourgeoisie, the new capitalist, did represent. Certainly, capitalism superior over feudalism, as all systems that come on the horizon, communism being the purest of all. It will be the ultimate. This economic base, the rise of townships, and the consequent decline of the feudal system set the stage for the later bourgeoisie revolutions, such as the French Revolution, when the middle class demanded political power equivalent to their newly gained economic strength. We need to understand now feudalism and capitalism. Feudalism, there's only two elements, master and slave. And with some concomitant reforms, the lords and the serfs. But then the nobility, in a very clever way, was eliminated by their great religious crusades, as money really brings no peace, or prestige brings no peace. So they sought a divine mission. But in terms of economics, they did set the stage for the later bourgeoisie revolutions, such as the Great French Revolution, where the middle class demanded political power equivalent to their newly gained economic strength, and set the pace for capitalism, which now is self-destructive because capitalism is warring against itself. Monopoly capitalism is the highest form of greed, though it does bring great increase of productivity for the time. But in the age of scientific nuclear warfare, it is unrealistic to think of capitalism as the economic basis of life. With 2 out of 3 babies going to bed hungry, it has obviously failed. It has obviously failed to meet even minimal needs. And so all nature, science, and reasoning points us to socialism. Socialism as the only hope for humankind. Thank you. The last point I wish to make is in reference to the lofts again. Any people already there with their children, it is my desire to keep strong socialist ties between individuals, not the capitalist family in the nuclear sense. But those who have their families in lofts, there must be immediate rush order of gates that can be latched inside so that no way, and the children must be instructed. If there's another fall, whoever it is, you will have to move if you have your child in a loft. I have to protect children from being vegetables all their lives. In the true cooperative sense, children don't need the one-to-one relationship. I more or less relent because of adult need to be loved by children, because children will thrive and be strong without any of the so-called father and mother figures. If they have strong family socialist community interrelating, which we do, But I have not pushed that point of evolution and will not. But I do demand that we show socialistic concern to put gates immediately, see that there's firm latches that children cannot open, because then the children must be taught step by step with your patient guidance as parents, supervisors, step to step how to handle themselves on a ladder. That is highly essential. And I'm hesitant even to make this allowance, because some of you will not show that responsibility. And there'll be serious ramifications to the next case, I can tell you, for the offender as well as the person offended. You cannot depend upon me and drain me, expect me to do some kind of miracle. Our medical team that does such wonders, our medical staff, Dr. Shack and all the other professionals, you cannot expect this. We've got to show safety, precautions, and great care. You can tell in my voice how much I love all of you. Please don't put me through the anxiety of one of my children laying as a vegetable. Watch those cradles, those cribs in the nursery. I don't want any more cases, not one, of turning your back or leaving them unlatched, not one. Thank you. Remember tonight, Women's Revolutionary Meeting at 7:30 and Men's Liberation Meeting at 7:30. Then at 8:30, they'll have a brief meeting together under the pavilion. The women will be under the pavilion from the beginning. The men, for their hour meeting, will be in the dining room pavilion. Thank you. I'll tell you more about films later on, what film will be shown. There's a film that was slated to be shown today, if you are free. I don't know what the electricians say about it, but it is important that you have electrical stability coming into those sets. And I hold the people responsible for those sets that work in the PA crew that no time will electricity be going into those sets that endanger it. As the regulations say, that they must have a certain minimal amount of energy, of voltage, that must be done. If that power is not there, fix it so it is there, or discontinue the set. We must not destroy these sets. They're too valuable for education and entertainment, and we can't afford to replace them. Thank you. Much love. Commentary today than usual, because we've been behind. We must know it all for examination tomorrow. We want to keep informed on varied fronts. We want to know about the Christian Crusades I gave lengthily a moment ago. There is always a religious aspect to persecutions publicly and for the glorious conquest. But behind everything, even the persecution for people burning them at stake as witches in USA, its early days, it's economic reasons. The old entrenched economic order was trying to kill off in the witch hunts, the burning at the stakes, the newly emerging competitive power representatives, the economic new ideas, persons that had power with property and business that were emerging or leading. People were just labeled witches, and that was an easy way to take care of them. Behind all religious crusades, there is a political reason, an economic reason. For a moment, geography. We need to know our neighbors. Suriname, formerly a Dutch colony called Dutch Guiana, G-U-I-A-N-A. It is making claims on certain territories on the east coast of our beloved country of Guyana. It is capitalistic. Its size is 63,251 square miles as compared to 83,000 square miles in Guyana. Population, over a 500,000. Suriname is located on the northeast coast of South America by the Treaty of Breda, or Breda, B-R-E-D-A, 1667. The Dutch obtained possession of Suriname and gave the British permanent possession of New Amsterdam. That was New York, where in the States. The area was originally populated by Arawaks, A-R-A-W-A-K, and Carib Indians, C-A-R-I-B, Indians who still make up 3% of the population. When the Dutch came, they imported African slaves. The reason they chose African slavery at the epitome and will always choose African, people of color, Indian, is because they stand out. Slave masters could find their property easier. So they imported African slaves to do the work. The Africans escaped into the jungle. They all broke away. Their descendants, known as Bush Negroes, are now 11% of the entire population of Suriname. Next, the Dutch were forced to bring in the indentured servants from India, which represents 37% of the population, and Indonesians, which represent 15% of the population. There's more racial ethnic groups there than here, and much more racial strife. Most of the remainder of the inhabitants today are Creoles, C-R-E-O-L-E-S, 30%. There's also a smattering of Chinese and even a few leftover white Dutch. Suriname is the world's second largest supplier of bauxite, and about 80% of its production goes to the USA. It's owned by USA imperialists. U.S. interests, principally Alcoa, control the entire industry. That's why that economy can be manipulated for U.S. interests, whereas this one can't because of all the property that's been nationalized. The major means of production and distribution, nearly 90%, is nationalized by the Guyana government and cannot be manipulated by the big corporations of USA imperialism, whereas they can in Suriname. Well, that's the end of that. A little study of our neighbor to the east. The last thing is about Zionist aims, as they are now threatening World War III, as they have been strafing the capital city of Lebanon, Beirut, at treetop level all morning. And their aims, the Zionist means the capitalist of Israel, the capitalist amongst the Jews, the really entrenched reactionary capitalist. And the aims of Zionism is again transparent. The Israeli invasion of southern Lebanon, the strafing of Beirut, proves one thing. The inexorable logic of Zionism continues to be, as it always has been, the destruction of the Palestinian people. What was their objective? That objective of the Israeli attack on Lebanon, or Beirut today. Retaliation always for the Palestinian Liberation Organization. The PLO commando raid into Israel a few days earlier. Is that the real issue? The very size of the operation is so disproportionate to the commando action that even the Israelis have been forced to acknowledge that they were seeking more than revenge. The PLO attack merely provided a convenient pretext for a propaganda campaign designed to condition world public opinion to accept whatever action the Israeli Zionist regime undertook. Remember, the Prime Minister of Israel, Menachem Begin, is the worst fascist element. He killed a whole Arab community, wiped out men, women, and children, so it could be taken over by the Zionist state. Zionism even sold out its own people, bargained with Hitler to get the richest Jews out, and gave him favors to keep the poor Jews and less educated Jews that they looked down upon. Zionism is one of the worst evils of capitalism that mask in the name of religion, which says that the Jews are a chosen people. Was the aim then to destroy the PLO's military bases in southern Lebanon? Yes, but this is, too, only a partial explanation designed to give a military justification for an operation with far, far larger implications. The real purpose of the attack called Operation Stone of Wisdom by the Israeli High Command was to expel the entire Palestinian population, numbering upwards of 60,000 people, from all southern Lebanon below the Litani River, L-I-T-A-N-I. Of course, the Zionist authorities are old hands at this type of population control. Ever since the Israeli state was established in 1848, It has employed every available means, military, political, and economic, to support its goals of fascism, to uproot the Palestinian people from their lands and homes, separate them from each other as a people, and disperse them to the four corners. This is the racist and genocidal essence of Zionism, for in order to establish an exclusivist Jewish homeland in Palestine, it was necessary to remove from the area those who had lived there for centuries. To accomplish this, Zionism was compelled to embrace a racist ideology, which made the Palestinians and all Arabs inferior to the Jews. They reversed the very thing that had been used by Hitler and the Gentile Christians against the Jews. Mimicked the same kind of racist hate. Myths were perpetuated as to how the Zionists came to Palestine and made the deserts bloom, as though the Palestinians were incapable of even tilling the soil. Just as Israeli troops and their terror tried to wipe out the Palestinian people, so Israeli racist propaganda tried to wipe out Palestinian culture and civilization. But the Palestinian people refused to disappear. 30 years later, they continue to fight for their land, their political rights, and their national identity. And the Zionists, in turn, continue in their unchanging goal of trying to destroy the Palestinians as a people. For so long as there continues to exist a clearly defined Palestinian people, the underlying political assumption of an exclusivist settler state on Palestinian land is called into question. This is the inescapable reason for Israeli intransigence, adamant resistance to all proposals that in any measure would recognize that the Palestinian people have the national rights, have national rights just like the Jews. This is why Zionism cannot permit the establishment of a Palestinian state on the West Bank of the Jordan River. This is why Zionism cannot recognize the Palestinian Liberation Front organization as a legitimate political expression of the Palestinian people, or any other political authority that would establish the Palestinians as a human group of people, a national entity. This is why Israeli troops have now expelled the Palestinian population from southern Lebanon and have occupied this territory with the clear intention of not permitting the displaced to return ever again. Once again, the Zionist authorities have taken the only course they know. If their actions exacerbate the refugee problem, so be it, since in their view, this will only increase the pressure on the rest of the Arab world to resolve the Palestinian question through dispersal and assimilation of the refugees and loss of their national identity into the various Arab nations that have been running dogs, lackeys of U.S. imperialism, not wakened to the sleeping giant that they are, owning all the world's oil resources practically. Well, the rest that the Soviets don't have. The Soviets have over 40%. Given time, the Soviet Union will be one of those powers also. But now the Arab nations are numb to submission because of U.S. military might built up under capitalism and demonic methods of offensive warfare. They send their oil to USA technology for refinement when they could do it themselves, establish their own prices, and cut out the great profiteers, middlemen in USA, build their own weapons. And, of course, we don't need any more weapons. That will lead to Third World War III, nuclear war, nuclear hell, any way you go. But it's pattern, according to all economists, that the Arabs will form their own bloc. And the pressure is now being brought by USA, who controls them by their need for her weapons, to just assimilate the Palestinian people. And once a great nation of Palestine will lose its total identity. Egyptian president, now dictator by referendum, Anwar el-Sadat, pleads with the Zionists to be reasonable and accept the reality of some kind of Palestinian entity. They were a nation, completely removed by U.S. and British imperialists. And while his scheme to tie the Palestinians to the government of Jordan is itself an unconscionable betrayal of Palestinian rights, even this is rejected by Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, a true fascist. For the Zionists quite correctly see that it is the very existence of a unified Palestinian people that will continue to pose a mortal threat to the fundamental premise of their own political rule. just like Taiwan came in, the nationalist Chinese, and took over Formosa and deprived them of their own land. So did the Jews, backed by USA imperialists, and the British particularly. The Palestinian question is an inexorably ticking time bomb for the Zionist state. Almost 2 million Palestinians live under direct Israeli political control in absolute second-class citizenship role, as bad as the worst blacks afflicted in Mississippi. They live so in the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and in Israel itself. In Israel, they compose a large section of the country's working class, though they're paid less, where they are among the most exploited, as are even the black or dark-skinned Jews, the Sephardic Jews, because the Zionists look down on Jews of color. Another 1.5 million Palestinians live in states bordering on Israel, particularly Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. If a West Bank Gaza Strip Palestinian state was established, many of the Palestinians living in neighboring countries, especially those still in refugee concentration camps, would undoubtedly insist on being allowed to take up residence in the new state. And so Zionism, the worst capitalist of the Jews, is forced to continue and expand its genocidal strategy of preventing the Palestinian people from re-establishing their own political entity. The areas of Palestinian majority must be shrunken and broken up. Hence the settlement's policy in the West Bank, for Israeli expansionism is the inevitable counterpoint to Palestinian dispersal. Palestinians in neighboring countries must be forced away from Israeli territory. Now the Israelis have been given the power by stupid U.S. government who provide them with the nuclear weapon know-how. The CIA says Israel's now have nuclear weapons, atomic bombs. And in order to prevent them from linking up with the Palestinians inside Israel, there has to be complete annihilation and genocide, dispersal of the Palestinians. Hence the invasion of southern Lebanon. The Palestinians elsewhere must be deprived of all hope that a Palestinian homeland will ever be established anywhere, so that they will themselves acquiesce, give up in an assimilation that will destroy their very identity. Hence also Israeli refusal to make any concessions that might be interpreted as holding out the possibility of an eventual Palestinian state. Time, the Zionist authorities believed, would work in their favor. The displaced Palestinians would become discouraged instead of a people in exile. They would settle into their new lives wherever they were. The Palestinians, however, formed the PLO as their organizing force for keeping alive aspirations for their reestablishment of a national homeland, even an international headquarters stationed in Brazil, the country just to our south that we'll be studying in days to come. Is this political act much more than the so-called acts of terrorism, so-called that is, that accounts for the implacable Zionist capitalist hatred of the PLO? By the same token, it is this which has made the PLO the one political force recognized by the Palestinian people themselves as their legitimate political representatives. This is the very essence of the Middle East conflict that now, this very day, threatens nuclear war. The fundamental contradiction in this area is not between Arab and Jew. It is between the Palestinian people and Zionism, capitalism. Zionism is the ideology of racism and bourgeoisie capitalistic nationalism. The Jewish bourgeoisie exploited the justified fears of a people who had suffered great agony during World War II and promoted religious myths about the Jews being a chosen people in order to have their own market, their own capitalistic system, their own political and legal Zionist superstructure. This is why Marxist-Leninists say the real interest of the Jewish masses in Israel itself are not with Zionism and the reactionary fascist bourgeoisie nationalistic regime it has produced, but with the masses of Palestinians. A cutting edge of the struggle against imperialism, Zionism, and racism in the Middle East rests with the continuing struggle of the Palestinian people for an end to national oppression and for their own self-determination. The Israeli invasion of Lebanon, its continued harassment of Beirut today, has not changed that fact. If anything, it has made it clearer than ever before.
Cobb has set him up, accusing him of all things. He had nothing to do with the Medlocks, accusing him of threatening their life on a telephone. Medlock pulled a knife on him. Oh, yes. It's amazing how some of these people can do. People I've saved from prison get up on the front of a television, but one of them, they're in lots of trouble. They're in lots of trouble because of it. Lots of trouble. John Haynes, you remember him, on the television telling all kinds of lies about his family and me. Well, he's now going around eating his brain out with dope. You do pay. You do pay. Put his mother and loved ones through here, had to come and be interrogated by the government. Grandmother. No gratitude when I did all I did for that kid. But all those people, you add burdens to this movement. You add chances of people being arrested when you gossip. You don't know what the hell is going to happen by somebody, how you're going to flip them out by some kind of damn bullshit. I hope you did tell it in a loving manner that they were. You're just concerned about her test, but I think you have to face one thing, Renee. But all you have is all the positive factors. Laziness is not one of your weaknesses, but you do gossip.
That's true, Dad.
I think so. That, you know, I agree with Dad. You've got a lot of ability, but you cause division.
It's good to be an observer for the Committee of the Defense of the Revolution. And bring things so it can be remedied. Because we don't knock people down if they'll tell us what the hell's wrong. We could have probably saved all of you some unnecessary worry if you'd have talked about it. Because you don't know what's doing to your body, Thelma. I know what's happening to your body right now by revelation. You know, you harbor this shit, dump it out on somebody else. But if you could get the facts that I've never done an unjust thing in my life and would dwell on that fact, and know how wonderful a friend you've got, you people would avoid a lot of later health problems that will be irreversible. You won't be anything you can do about them.
I think I want you to know the whole fact, because the trouble is we go off, everybody goes off in their own direction without knowing the true whole fact of a thing. Joyce and Sharon were talking and said, I didn't even know anything about the difference in the tests. But they said, Diane, which is true, does not have the nursing background. She was an operating room technician. Judy had a nursing background, which gave her an advantage. Is there any way that we can arrange for her to have time to study for this rather than the news? And I went to Dad, and there was no problem. The arrangement was made immediately. But see, you didn't know that. You went off on half information. Sometimes it's an ego thing, and we're all guilty of it, Renee. We have to be careful that we don't want to be, you know, really have the
none of you better manipulate any guilt in her for talking about what was on her mind, killing her, gnawing at her. You better hear that, husband. Not a word. Not a word.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I do not take easily to this kind of a situation that was created for me today. But you see how well I can respond to criticism. We'll talk it out. But why in the hell do you keep something back? All you had to do is you could find out Richard L. had not told the truth about the box. And we'll have to straighten her mind out. Be sure to make note that you know nothing else. She said there was something you wouldn't tell her. She knew about the box, but she'd heard that from Richard L. Richard L. seems to make a lot of time around here.
First thing, Richard, you speak up with Richard. You're going to have to make some type of commitment, man. You're just being mealy-mouthed, and evidently you have been mealy-mouthed and you've been talking to her and complaining.
No. It says you don't like anything. You don't like the way it produced. You used to live on the country. You don't like this. You don't like that. Would you like to tell all of us, brave soul?
Dad, it all started about the news.
What don't you like, brother?
You want to talk what I'm on?
I know you have difficulty with the news because you have difficulty reading and writing. But we understand that, and you can talk to. I'm sure Comrade Grubbs will work on that so you can get some help with reading and writing.
His wife was concerned about him, Dad, and said something to me about this problem, and I come to you, Richard, and I said that
Walter Cartmell had problems that way, and he was being helped. And Chuck Bikeman, who couldn't read or write, passed a test because somebody stood over there and took his whatever he said about it and wrote it down. Dad even told anybody about that to put everybody's mind at ease.
Shift.
But that wasn't good enough. She was concerned that you didn't get that. And she said something to me, and I come to you and told you if you had any problem that you could come to me and I would make way with one of the teachers to alleviate your mind, that you wouldn't be put in that kind of strait, and Dad wouldn't push you to the wall anyhow, that he was loving and kind, and you wouldn't be put through any kind of embarrassment. So I don't understand you going on to her about that. I really don't.
Can I say one thing before you start on? We have a very long agenda tonight, and we're not going to have a hell of a long meeting, all right? So you guys, say what you got to say and get done, so we can get done and get everything squared away, because we still got guests coming tomorrow we got to prepare for, a whole lot of things. We're not going to have no long fucking meeting tonight.
That's right.
And that's right.
This is so bad. That's so bad. Here, I want to give, no, we can't afford it, permanent days off. And you know we can't even get permanent days off because of people plotting, talking. You can't give them enough time to plot to do something. Now that is goddamn dreadful. That's a damn shame. You may be seated. It's black. Not as much as America today. But it shows what socialism can do to change a situation. For 18 years ago, a black person could not even go on the beach. Batista was such a fool. He was a dictator, Fulgencio Batista, but he was part black, and they would not allow that man to go to his own beach. He couldn't. There was a certain beach that was reserved to whites only. When Dr. Castro's revolution took over, they took all those plush apartments and made them beaches for all the workers. And the first people he put on them as a sign and symbol of the brotherhood that socialism meant. He took every black person from the outside in the mountainous regions, in the hinterland, and brought them in for 2 weeks vacation and put them right in those plush apartments and made the sons of bitches in them get out. Yes. He started his revolution in the black sector of the country because he knew they understood oppression. And he's obviously committed to blacks because he's risked Cuba. They risked Cuba's life. They say, well, why'd you risk all of our lives? Some people talk about, well, you get us all killed. That's what revolution's about. Cuba risks itself getting blown out of the water for Africa, but it's still determined to help Africa. Right. What the hell is a life anyway? Only as you live it in purpose. Sure, we risked our lives. All this crap about suicide, it wasn't suicide. It was a mass demonstration against injustice. It was a demonstration that we believe that all people are created equal and that we stand up for everyone. If we all have to die, we will stand up for everyone's life. And I don't understand why people can't talk more about such things as that instead of all this crap shit. Peace. Let's get hundreds of thousands like that.
Right.
A 3-year-old grandchild, nobody to help her, had to go to the hospital. They didn't take care of her. And then when she gets home, she finds her baby, her grandson, starving to death. In U.S. The new people must see that film. Now, you must sign up to see that film. When I call for it, you haven't seen it, you must see it. Because it shows business people, white people, black people, all kinds of people. Don't make no difference. They all end up the same way. Rich people, they end up in a goddamn nursing home. You'd be better off. You'd be better off if somebody killed you slowly by punching you out with pins and needles.
Right.
No hell like an older person having to live in that kind of a mess.
I also want to tell you, it's not only the old. I want to tell you about a young black man who went into a state of catatonic state, went into a fetal position, and I ran into him in Mendocino State Hospital, and they had not bothered to straighten his legs out. And so he was curled up in a ball, and there was no way he'd been that way so long. They'd never done any range of motion like we do for Joe here every day. They never had him out exercising like we do for our senior citizens. And there was no way in the world that he would ever walk again, because nobody had bothered.